Welcome to the One Fall Podcast. I'm Joel Johnson. We've upgraded the host. I think this is a little bit of a better intro. And later on, we'll be joined by the guy who usually does the intro. But right now, I'm joined by the crown prince of charisma, Mo.
You know what? Considering the event that's going to happen in Saudi, I'm not sure I want crown anything in my title anymore.
So we're going to have to, we'll have to alter that. You'll have to come up with a new one for us.
Yeah, I might have to.
So
the crown jewel is about to, I don't know, it's sullying the good name of crown.
Yeah, it's
I haven't had crown liquor royal or royal liquor since, and let me tell you something, I'm a lush.
It's definitely starting to seep into other aspects of people's lives, but not apparently not Vince's. But we're going to get to that and all the stuff that's happened in Saudi Arabia, because even as we're recording this, it feels like it's a developing story. We know the end of the story, but it feels like there's still a couple more twists and turns with this story before we finally arrive on November 2nd. And we might as well go with something a little bit more positive. I know that Josh also wants to talk about Saudi Arabia, so we'll kind of leave that for when Josh graces us with his presence. But the one thing I did want to talk to you and get your opinion as someone that I consider more of a New Japan expert is the issues in New Japan right now and the issues that are currently being had with some talent not being happy. And there are reports that there's a lot of talent that would never have entertained the thought of leaving WWE. New Japan for WWE are now kind of entertaining that thought. Tama Tonga has thrown out a bunch of stuff on Twitter. There's been rumblings across the board of just different guys and just how they feel about New Japan. So, Mo, what the hell's going on?
What the hell's going on? Yeah, I guess I don't want to sound arrogant here, but and I've said this off the air, and it's true, but I think this is an episode where I'm going to try and put people a little bit under the learning tree. Because there's a lot of misconceptions about a lot of things out there, and that needs to be cleared up about. And you know, I don't want to sound like say like John Gruden and be arrogant and or anything like that. But even people who know a lot more about wrestling, there's a lot of people who know a lot more about wrestling than me are getting some facts and some different things wrong. But when it comes to New Japan, yeah, it's a very interesting time. I mean, The Harold May became their president, you know, and changed. Yeah. They had that leadership change, and it's a good move. Like he's been a very 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 successful businessman. I mean, nobody in WWE has the pedigree as a businessman that Harold May has. You know, so I mean, it's a strong addition. And with that though, there's been changes, and not that he doesn't love wrestling, he does. He's a fan, but he doesn't have a wrestling background. Wrestling's always been a very insular business, even wrestling, especially in Japan, in many ways. But WWE's become this corporate entity. But historically, wrestling is very much. I mean, there's a reason why they refer to fans as marks, and anybody outside the business is a mark. And now you have a person coming in from outside the business, you know, and there's always been the conception has always or the viewpoint has always been of wrestling and the people, unless you're really inside of it, you can't understand it. And now this person is coming in and he's making these decisions and he has, you know, new people with them. They're making decisions and communicating with the wrestlers in ways that is not how it's been done in the past. And I think people had a good attitude coming in, but it's a jarring change. And this is probably just a result of the change. This is probably just a natural progression of the change. Things had to change in New Japan, even though people say, hey, oh, you know, they were growing. They were already – business was great in Japan. They were starting to make inroads. I mean, yeah, they were starting to make inroads, but how far do you want to go? Do you want to make inroads or do you want to become – a true competitor to WWE? Harold May's a guy who may be able to do that. I mean, it's a long way to go and it may never happen, but Harold May is a guy capable of doing that. He has proven that he can do that type of thing. And in many ways, he's probably more valuable than any single wrestler that's in New Japan right now because of his business pedigree and where he could take the company. The misconception probably is that, you know, they're going to lose. Everybody's upset. OK, so and that is the rumbling, is the entire New Japan locker room is upset, or at least a vast majority. But that doesn't mean that all of a sudden they're going to lose 20 guys. And it also doesn't mean that, you know, even if people decide to leave, that they decide that they're going to go to the WWE, or, you know, even if the WWE does want them. That a lot of these people have a lot of other options, both in Japan and independence in different places. But you'll probably – maybe you'll see one or two guys. I mean, where it's most interesting is with the Elite. And, you know, that's the group that this is really all rests around. I mean, if, you know, somebody – you know, if Juice Robinson leaves and goes back to the WWE – I mean, talented guy, and he, you know, you like him in New Japan, but it's not a difference maker in any way.
No.
It really the where this rests is how upset are the people in the Elite, you know, going to be, the members of the Elite, and do they want to leave? And quite frankly, to me, when I see as upset as they are, and they look across the pond though, and they see, you know, this crown jewel event, I think it kills anything about anybody going.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. I have a few questions for you on this, but before we get to there, Josh has joined us, so Josh is now part of this podcast.
What it is, what it do.
So I guess the first question I've got, and I saw a lot of this online, and I know the answer to this already, but I feel it just needs to be reiterated. Do you believe that there's any weight to this, merely these rumors and these rumblings being a storyline, either to help the Elite get a better contract or tie it in with being the Elite, their YouTube series, or something else more within the actual New Japan storyline moving forward? Do you think there's any truth to that?
You're asking me now?
I'm asking Mo.
Okay.
You know what, Josh? You go ahead. I'm curious your thoughts on this.
And, yeah, and
that won't happen often.
So my thoughts on this is there's so many factors to it. My main thing for the Bucks has been is they're obviously killing it, and Cody is killing it. All In was one of the greatest things that's happened in wrestling in a long time. It really kind of gave the WWE a punch in the face and showed them that the independents are a serious matter, and it felt like something outside WWE really mattered on a global level and social level for the first time really since WCW. Japan's doing great, but I had people in my life that were like, what's this All In thing? Who are the Young Bucks? Who's Cody Rhodes? I've seen that Young Bucks shirt at Hot Topic. What does that mean? So it really seemed like they generated that out. So as far as a brand and everything like that, they are killing it. The WWE thing that comes into effect are a few things for me. As far as Cody, I don't really think it really matters overall for him. He's starting to get into Hollywood on his own, and we've seen Dave Bautista do that on his own as well without the WWE machine. And Cody's a great looking guy. I think he can do that as we started to see him being a main part of this season as Arrow. He's been in Arrow before. If Cody wants to go that route, I don't think he's going to have a problem with doing that. But coming back to WWE, maybe gets a little bit more of a shine. We'll see how they use him though. Kenny, you'd like to say can't miss, but Joel and I have had this conversation, and you and I have had this conversation too, Mo. I don't think after what we've seen with like the Finn Balors and the Baileys of the world, where they'll seem like slam dunks, that anything anymore is a guaranteed hit. So I can't say that for Kenny, but the matchups matter, and that's what kind of matters with the Bucks. The Bucks are the biggest key to this for me because, number one, they just have better wrestling opponents for dream matches now. Not to say that there's not great opponents on the indies, but as far as dream matches, it doesn't seem like the Bucks have had those dream matches and that feud that really sticks out to me. If you go to WWE, you get the New Day, you get the Usos, you still get that revival match for whatever that means anymore. You get AOP, you get the Undisputed. There are so many opportunities for so many dream and great tag match with the Young Bucks, plus the marketing ability of what the Young Bucks brings. Plus for them, it's kind of what you see from Carl Anderson. He's so close to his family right now, and that means a lot to him. And the Bucks have kids that are growing up, and Mrs. Buck has done so much promotional work. It'd be kind of nice for her to take a break and not have to do all this promotional work. Let somebody else handle it and let them be home more, not have these long trips to Japan or Europe, kind of be centralized in North America. How they're used, that's the big question. But as far as dream matches and being close to their family, I can see that playing a big factor in this decision for them.
Okay, well, let's go this way. They don't go on the extended tours already in New Japan most often. They have a very busy schedule, but they don't see their family any less than they probably would if they're in the WWE, because especially when you're a West Coast guy, you're working 4 days and you get a travel day, then you're there for 1 day and then you go leave again, you get another travel day. So essentially, even though you're only working 4 days a week, because you're a West Coast guy and the way it works out usually, it's more difficult. You don't necessarily get extended breaks like they do right now. Now, it's their independence that they take, which they've already cut back on an awful lot, that makes it so that they can actually get out there and take some time with their kids. I think the idea of them, I don't think the schedule thing is a big a deal. I think it's more, and this is the thing about this, is this a work or not to get a better contract? I don't think they needed any more leverage. How much more leverage can you need after All In?
Yeah.
And it's less about, to me, about would they go to WWE. If WWE offers some crazy contract, obviously, which I don't believe they'll do, because I don't think they want to throw their entire pay structure off. That's what they didn't want to do when they had a chance to bring in all the guys from WCW, and when the company folded and they refused to bring in the Flairs and the Goldbergs and the Stings and stuff, because they didn't want to throw their pay structure out, and they still won't want to do that. So you're probably going to see these guys more consider, I think, can they do something with All In? Is it possible to get All In on a television platform to grow that as their own thing? I think that's more likely what they would look at doing than if they leave New Japan. And is it advantageous to do that? Can you do that in a better way if you're not with New Japan and not with ROH even? Then if you're, because there's a point where if you're doing this, you start to become competition to them. But we're also seeing a world where the promotions are working very closely together. And it's almost like there's independence, even your big independence, and New Japan can be counted among that. And then there's your WWE. And it's not one individual, it's a group. It's almost an NWA old school, conglomerate that's taking on WWE and the independents. So, I don't know if it's a work or not. I don't think it is. I just really think that they're at a crossroads where it's like, if you are the Young Bucks, for instance, what more do you have to accomplish in Japan? You're That's never going to main event, right? You're never going to main event the Tokyo Dome because you're a tag team. You're never going to, you're never going to actually even really end the cards in Japan. You've already been multiple time junior champions, and now you're the heavyweight champions once, and you get that back. And there's nothing left to accomplish. And there's not necessarily anything left to accomish for, same with Kenny Omega. Like, there's a point where he wants to change the world. That keeps talking about that, Cody. That doesn't mean the WWE. In the WWE, you're less likely to do that. That means building your own path, creating your own thing that's not in New Japan, not in ROH, and not in WWE. It's All In. I would not be surprised if they are considering leaving, that's the bigger issue, is looking to brand All In and do something, take that as a true company, and with monthly events and touring and that type of thing.
Well, I mean, yeah. you look at, and I'll speak on the I don't think it's a work. I don't think Meltzer would report on this and then kind of double down on it and kind of be like, this is what I've heard, if there wasn't at least some smoke to it. I don't think he would sit there with the Bucks or Kenny or the Elite or whoever sitting down and being like, hey, it'd be fun. I can help you get more money by letting this stuff out, spreading some of these rumors and getting New Japan flustered and helping you guys get more money. I don't think it would work that way. And from what I've seen from just being the Elite, from Twitter, from just the person on the outside looking in, it just doesn't seem like an angle that any of these guys would take. It seems rather pointless. And I mean, the other thing is with all this is they very well may want to build their own All In. They may want to build it as something that they can give guys a chance to come in and do stuff and have that monthly show and continue to sell and be able to build different things from there. My only thought is I could potentially see them wanting to do stuff with people within WWE, like a Seth Rollins, like a like the New Day, like the Usos. I think there are opponents there that they want to face.
And obviously, the Revival.
Yeah, and 100%. That's you've got a FDRR. I just don't. I could see them sign for like a 2-year deal with WWE, do that, have it done and finished, and then take some of the money that they've made from there and then just go all in on their on doing something different. Because I think if they're smart with their money and they seem like they're not fools with their money, I think they could get paid decently and could check off a few things on the bucket list. And I think going to WWE potentially could help get their names more out there, even more than it is, making something like a all-in brand easier to do. Now, this is just speculation. Who knows what the next couple months will hold? We are closing in on the answer, and we will continue to watch BTE for all the teases and all the little on-the-nose jokes that they've got. But I think ultimately we're going to find out in January. But it is fun to speculate what could happen in the future.
Honestly, I really think that if they go to the WWE, it doesn't help their brand, it hurts it.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, we talk about Finn Balor, Bayley. You could go through a whole list of names.
Not even just the booking, but part of the reason why they're successful is because they are the outsiders, the true outsiders, the rebels, the underdogs. As soon as you go to the WWE and you become a WWE guy, whether except for Cody, he's managed to shed this. But I think that a lot of the people that are fans of theirs that are sitting there going, oh, okay, we're supporting you because we're sick and tired of what the WWE is. As soon as they go, even if it's for a couple of years and they leave, they wouldn't go back to them and going, oh, you left again. They'd go, nah, you sold out.
Yeah.
And that will hurt their brand.
And I mean, you're not wrong on that. I feel like their brand is already kind of taking a bit of a hit right now online. Is there's a lot more people going, oh, you guys are going to sell up, go to WWE. I don't like you guys anymore. I like BTE back like 50 episodes. You guys jumped the shark. Like, there's already starting to form that opinion online. And wrestling fans are very fickle to begin with, so...
People are fickle. You build them up, you break them down, you know? But I mean, there's three things of that. Part of that is the fact that they're even considering leaving. That's pissing some people off. That's probably the biggest one. Part of that is that just general jealousy. And then there's the other people who are going to hate you because you're not WWE because they only will watch WWE. Like, I know people like that who... Like, I knew somebody who was a huge CM Punk fan, and I was telling him for years beforehand how great CM Punk was on these independents and that he should have been watching, trying to get him to watch things, and he wouldn't. And then after he came, I'm like, well, why? Don't you think about all you missed seeing him? He's like, no. I only care about the WWE. So, I mean, you're always going to have these, you know... So you got these factors, but I think all that is overblown. The elite has still got their fans, and
Josh, what do you think?
I will say one thing on the Dave thing that really pisses me off is that Dave Meltzer's been doing this since the 80s, and he's one of the he's the Bob McKenzie for those that follow us in Canada. He's the Adrian Wojnarowski. He is the guy to go to for wrestling news. And for anyone to talk about him, like, just because he's closer with Kenny Omega or the Bucks, or because the Bucks use the Meltzer driver, and to you say that they're going to use him as leverage for a better deal is absolutely asinine. Dave is a complete professional and has been covering this sport for longer than anyone. He's going to take a hit as far as maybe a UFC reporter if people get wind of him trying to help people get contracts. And people forget that sometimes too, that he's not just a wrestling reporter. He's also a mixed martial artist reporter, and that's getting hot again. And that's something that people go to for him to report. So that people insinuating that is ridiculous. Just Dave Meltzer has integrity as a reporter and would not leeway someone to get better contracts. As far as the Bucks taking a hit, I think, you know, there's still definitely an indie rock thing too that I kind of go back to many years ago, my sister being a big fan of Billy Talent. And then I remember Billy Talent got big. I've kind of seen it with Donald Glover when he was Childish Gambino and he put out some of these lesser known records. And there was a few of us that knew who Childish Gambino was. And then Atlanta came out, and then This Is America came out, and then he came really big, and now there's this whole new audience for Childish Gambino and Donald Glover, and there's some people that say he sold out, but there's this whole new audience, and going to the Fed kind of gives the Bucks, there's going to be those that say they sold out, but then there's this whole new audience, and then there's these dream matches for them. Personally, I'm on the record, I don't think they're going to go. I think they're just kind of just having fun with this whole thing. I think they're very comfortable with the schedule and the life they've had. And the Bucks, I think, want to retire in the next handful of years. And I think getting to do the stuff they've done with the T-shirts and having the business minds that they've had, I think that will lead to a retirement plan for them. So I don't think they're going to go to WWE, but I do think there is those dream matches to go there for them to have the opportunity. Same with Kenny. I think Kenny likes living in Japan. I don't think he's been on the record of saying, like, he is very much loving having his own creative control. The Bucks have said that too, but Kenny especially wants his creative control. And, you know, you can go and you can negotiate your deal with Carano and Kevin Dunn and Vince and Hunter and all that stuff. And maybe if he went to NXT first, he'd have that. You go to NXT, everyone is working out. They're trying their best with how big and awesome that roster is. But then you go to the main roster, and Hunter can only do so much to save you, as we've seen with guys like Finn and Bayley and the Revival right now, a lot of those other talents that have gone from NXT to the main roster. There's great feuds there, and it's worked for some people like AJ. Maybe it'll work for Kenny Omega. I don't know.
You know what? The vast majority of the guys, AJ's your outlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not the norm on how it goes for people there. And especially when you talk about dream matchups, I mean, having just wrestling the guy isn't the dream matchup. Wrestling
the guy, AJ Nakamura.
Yes, that exactly. You know, wrestling him and telling the story you want to tell is the dream. And that's not going to happen.
No, you can have a house arrest or a house invasion, rather, with two of the most talented wrestlers in the world. Because when AJ Nock didn't go the way they wanted to, they're like, God damn it, we gave you your indie dream wonder match. You got it. You got your wet dream of an indie match, and it didn't work. That feud sucked, and it didn't work with Kevin Owens and AJ either. So guess what? Now we're going to put entertainment on it, and that's what you got with Joe and AJ. And some of those matches were just better. But that's the way it's going to be. If Kenny comes in, he wants these great matches with Seth Rollins and AJ and other talents, there's going to be some sports entertainment put to it.
Well, and I think, like, you mentioned that about the Knock and the AJ not working. I think part of me feels like it was set up not to work. Felt very much like Rey Mysterio in 2006 when he won the World Heavyweight title. And he's like, he can win the title, but he's not my champion. And then you see how Ray was booked after winning the title after Mania. It was very much he was not Vince's champion. So it was one of those things where it was a self-fulfilling prophecy. And I feel like the AJ and Knock was another self-fulfilling prophecy. This isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. I really felt like that Mania match could have hit another gear, but it just didn't. They didn't let them hit it. They had it after one Styles clash, and it just was like, this is a little weird, because you'd think he was going to kick out and they were going to start building something, and they just kind of cut the legs from underneath it. So I fear that there would be that self-fulfilling prophecy. And like you said, Mo, AJ is the odd one out, where it just kind of worked with AJ. And I think that speaks to AJ Styles as a performer.
It also speaks to the fact that he didn't have to go through NXT, I think.
Yeah.
So he didn't come in knowing that style. He came in doing what he'd always done. And and that actually worked. So he had these great matches with people, you know, and it was different because he hadn't been WWE size so much style wise. Now his style's changed a little bit more. He does wrestle more the WWE style, and nobody's raving about his work the same way they were a couple of years ago.
And, but I mean you're also go ahead, Joe.
I mean, even to that point, yeah, he's not having the matches that he has, but this guy is in his 40s. He's getting paid very well, and he's the champion. So he might not be having the matches he once had, but life's good for AJ Styles. So
AJ Styles, it's been the right move, absolutely. Yeah. But it was a different time. AJ Styles didn't have the same. I mean, he was in Japan. He didn't have the independents weren't as big then. New Japan wasn't as big then, not even close. There wasn't an All In. The world has changed.
Yep.
And it's continuing to change.
And that's the thing, where you can look at AJ and then you're going to look at Kenny and you're going to be like, oh, well, this is how it's going to work. And it's just, like you said, it's a whole new world. And I think even in next year, it's going to be different. I think things are just going to keep evolving and changing. And you don't know where things are going to land. And I mean, the more things change, the less obvious it becomes to go to WWE. You have more options. Yep.
I was going to mention too, like, obviously AJ is the outlier, and we've even seen, like, you and I, Joe, were having this conversation, the guys and the girls that have worked from NXT that worked there before. Obviously Bliss has been a phenomenal piece, but it's not like Alexa Bliss was anything big in NXT. Charlotte, I guess, is working, but that's kind of their chosen person. And we're seeing Charlotte is so chosen that they finally got someone from NXT and Becky to work, but it's not what they wanted to work. So they're not going to let it happen. And that's what I kind of fear coming for Cody or Kenny or the Bucks or Adam Page, is these talents will come and they'll be like, well, you're not doing what we wanted you to do, so we're not going to give you what we want to do, kind of like what we've seen with Becky right now.
It's true. There's guys like more, or girls like Becky and or even Elias, who weren't big stars in NXT, and they come up and they fit better on the main roster. Because what makes you successful in NXT is not necessarily what makes you successful in the main roster.
No, like, you can't even say, like, Joel and I were watching NXT the other day. I'd love to say Velveteen is a slam dunk, that the Undisputed, everyone's a slam dunk, that Aleister Black, that entrance is going to get over. But we said that with Finn. Like, I can't say anyone from NXT coming up is going to be a slam dunk, maybe except for Lars, because that just seems like a guy they would push.
And I mean,
yeah, that's true.
The only guy that could maybe be a slam dunk on the main roster and it's just his pedigree is Matt Riddle, but Matt, I mean, they could easily mess up.
They could screw that up.
They can make him RVD, man. They can make him the stoner RVD character all over again.
Yeah. And then it's just, they'll put smoke clouds around him and it just won't.
But this isn't new, and this isn't just even an NXT thing. I mean, look what they did with Goldberg back in the day. Yeah. It's always been the WWE thing that you have to take somebody, and when he comes from someplace else, if he has a lot of buzz, we want to prove, A, first, he wasn't really that good, and then break him down or make him our own thing. DDP, you know, another one. I mean, it was a travesty what they did with DDP when he came in.
If it's not Vince or Kevin Dunn's creation, they seem to sabotage it. And that's why, like, I've had this parallel for a long time of Al Davis and Vince McMahon kind of being the same thing. Obviously, the Al Davis one doesn't work now because the Raiders are still shit. But as much as I love Vince McMahon, and he's one of the, you know, he's been great for the wrestling business overall, he just can't see the bigger picture here. And Hunter gets it. You look at NXT, you look at the interviews, you look at the video packages, you look at everything. He just gets what the wrestling business is right now. And Kevin Dunn and Vince just don't get that idea. And you see it from the women that are still booked. You know, it's this whole women's revolution, and that's fantastic. But still look at the women that are on top. It's Alexa Bliss, the blonde. It's Charlotte, the blonde. It's Nikki because Carmella. She's on TMZ. And Carmella. And it's Nikki because she's on TMZ. Ronda's only on top. If Ronda just came in as this MMA, like, kind of buzzworthy MMA star, that didn't have the pedigree, she would not be in the position that she was. I mean, look at Sonya Deville. Decent, okay MMA career, and the first openly gay woman in the history of the WWE. So much with that, and they do jack shit with it. Y'all on a silence, didn't I?
No. Yeah. I was waiting for Joel to, he's steering. So I was waiting for him to.
I fell asleep at the wheel. No, the one thing with WWE is that they always, like you said, they find a way to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. They always find a way to make themselves right. And I think when you speak on Hunter being having this knowledge, I think Hunter's very good at having the right pieces around and having the right people that have helped steer the ship with him. I don't think it's just solely on Hunter's back.
No, it's William Regal and it's dude from TNA.
Yeah, Jeremy Borash. I think having Sean around has probably helped with just the wrestling and the training and all that stuff. And I mean, there's probably a dozen other little trainers that they have there that have helped.
Sarah Amato is a big one.
Yeah. Robbie Brookside.
Robbie Brookside's a big one. Yeah.
Norman Smiley. There's plenty of names that they have there that have helped kind of shepherd some of these talent and have helped shepherd people like Bliss and Elias, because they might not work in NXT, but they've worked on the main roster. I don't know what the future holds for WWE. And as we get into our next topic, and this is kind of the big topic, this is what we were waiting on for Josh, is Saudi Arabia.
But I just want to say this before. I know, like you said, he gets it. Hunter gets it. I'm not confident that Hunter, when he gets control of the main roster, is going to be able to turn this around. Not in the least.
I think part of the reason why Hunter's not going to be able to turn it around is I think the business side will be still dealt by Stephanie, and I just don't trust Stephanie's mind for wrestling. I just don't feel like she can help guide that ship with Triple H to a good spot. I mean, the other flip side to all of this is it's a big, massive, moving, living, breathing organism that the main roster is. There's so many factors to everything. There's a lot to clean up. And just because Vince disappears doesn't mean Kevin Dunn's gone either. Kevin Dunn could still stay, and he could be dragged out of there kicking and screaming. And there's a lot of factors with what that future would look like. But shifting gears to a little bit of a darker tone. Saudi Arabia, crown jewel, WWE, dead journalist.
Fist fight, you got in a fist fight, damn it.
And it's as of right
now. Who hasn't accidentally decapitated somebody?
I mean, it happens all the time, doesn't it?
You know, it's funny. The first thing I thought of for the fist fight, for some bizarre reason, was Wade Barrett, because he used to be like a bare knuckle boxer. And I was like, I really just want to get Wade Barrett's opinion on this as far as fist fighting, and what are the chances that you can die from a fist fight?
Oh, you can absolutely die from a fist fight, but I don't know if you can die in a fist fight via decapitation and your fingers being chopped off.
It's Mortal Kombat, apparently, in real life.
If you're fighting Jason from Friday the 13th, but otherwise, no.
Or Johnny Cage, apparently.
Like, yeah. The whole thing is ludicrous, and President Trump, not to get too political, but there will be some political conversation.
You can't not.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's possible.
President Trump has deemed what the Saudis have said as credible, and I have read some different things from Jared Kushner to just...
Now let's talk about when Trump has said something credible first. That will be... See, he's deemed something credible, the man who's never been credible in anything he's ever said.
I like to surf through the politics subreddit just to kind of get some news and find some of the articles to read and kind of do research on stuff like this. And it just... I've had to take more breaks in the last 3 weeks than I did for a while. Like, I had a steady stream where I was like, yeah, no, I can read this, I can handle this, and then just one thing after another just slowly wore me down. The whole Brent Kavanaugh fiasco just absolutely took the wind out of my sails. And now with the Saudi Arabia situation and WWE kind of being not at the central figure for this massive shitstorm, but being a part of the shitstorm, and not willing to leave the shitstorm,
that's the bigger key.
The thing with all of this is, and Mo, I would trust that you might be able to correct me on this, but from what I've read and what I've gathered, WWE is, if they don't do the show, would only lose $2 to $3 million for not doing the show. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's only about $2 to $3 million is what's being reported. But that's on this one show, right? Like, we don't know if it will cost them future shows and whatever. That's, you know, that's that. So it's potentially a lot more money. $2 to $3 million on this show, but how much, if the deal fell apart, would it actually cost them?
Yeah. And I mean, there have been talks of them just not doing the show. They've signed a contract with Saudi Arabia, and that's an issue in itself because they've signed a deal.
That's what no one's talking about, is that there's a contract. And that's a bigger thing that is complicated, and no one knows what the buyout thing is there. If there's a buyout,
there's many businesses that have some sort of contract with them that have dropped out of doing business with them.
Right.
So I'm sure there is a way out. But it's not just that. It's also you're a corporation, right? Corporations in America are their people. They have more rights than you have as a person, right? But part of the trade-off to that is they have a fiduciary responsibility to maximize profits for their investors. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole other issue that comes with that. If you're not doing what you can to maximize your profits, you have to be able to prove that the negatives that come from it, loss of sponsorships and this type of thing, are actually more in case somebody wants to make some trouble, one of their investors. So it's a really complicated issue.
And it's absolutely not cut and dry. And for them to get out of this contract, who knows what that would entail and what the Saudis would do with a contract like that. Because this is important to them, because WWE is more than willing to spout out Saudi Arabia is progressive, and this is a huge deal, and they're not as bad as you think, and things aren't that bad over here. When in actual fact, I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
By the way, Josh, is the first time the word fiduciary was ever used on one of your podcasts?
Probably, yeah. It's not my podcast, it's Stick Boy, so.
Yeah, what the hell?
Look, I'm not going to get too much in there. You guys will say the right things. Like, the show's going to go on because Owen Hart died and the show still went on, so this show's going to happen. Because Vince, God damn it, the show will go on. But my bigger thing in relation to all of this, and if it becomes a bigger thing, is two words. And I'm interested on Mo's thought on this and then yours, Joel. But two words, Mo. Independent contractor.
That to me is, we already know that's a joke, right?
Yep. That's what I want to see. And that's why it's so interesting to me that the people that have talked about this are JBL and Randy Orton. There's no point in saying not to get too political. Two known Republicans. JBL freaking goes on Fox. I want to hear Daniel Bryan, who is a known Democrat. What does he think about all this? Does he want to go over there? Because now all of a sudden we're hearing that, well, we may just have a big surprise and have Bryan win the title just to distract people. So is Bryan letting his politics get aside to be a WWE champion? I don't think Daniel Bryan's that type of person, but why isn't Bryan talking? Why are the other people that aren't scared talking about it? Because is this a situation like when 9/11 happened and they said, like, if you're not comfortable, you can go home? No, it's not that situation. JBL said they had that situation when they had Tribute to the Troops. But guess what would have happened if Tribute to the Troops happened and you didn't want to go?
Okay.
Not good things.
You know what? RVD, remember, didn't want to go.
Yeah.
Bad things. RVD didn't want to go, and he was punished. He was mm-hmm. He didn't go. He was punished severely in many ways by the company. Yep. And many of the other things they made him do, and many of the ways they booked him, all of this and that. So there, yeah, it's so obviously that's bullshit.
It's like, you know, the 9/11 show. If someone didn't do the 9/11 show, let's say Chris Jericho at the time, a Canadian, right? But it mattered to him because he's from New York. Let's say Christian, right? Christian says, I don't feel comfortable. I want to get home to my family. Or Edge does, two known Canadians. And what happens to them? Right? Or anyone else in that run. Let's say Billy Kidman says, I don't feel comfortable being here. I need to get home. But at that time, if you would have gone home, you would have looked at, you're not patriotic or whatever. And for this, yep. Same thing. You're not part of this. You're not trying to help us. So it's a lose-lose situation for anyone involved. And if you pull the independent contractor thing, much like when Jesse Ventura tried to get a union together, you're going to get fired.
It's absolutely true. And of course, Jesse Ventura probably could have got the union together if Hulk Hogan hadn't ratted
Except
him out.
Except I ratted on him, dude.
Yeah.
Well, how different would do you think WWE would still be operational if they had a union, had formed a union all those years back?
It's impossible to say, probably. But I don't know. I mean,
I think you'd have strikes, kind of like you see in the NBA and any major sport, right? You'd have strikes for certain things. Like Ryback, as much as he's an idiot, brought up a lot of good points when he left of things that they should be getting that they don't get, like basic things, like some hotels and some other accommodations that I was pretty shocked that they didn't get. And some of those basic things should be given to them, and they're not.
Well, and the part that gets me is this whole independent contractor thing. You have to think there's a reckoning from it someday. But Bret Hart talked about it too. Bret Hart talks about how, you know, the janitor has dental for his kids, but the wrestler doesn't, you know. And that was years ago, you know, that came up. But it's going to be it's not coming anytime soon. It's unfortunately not coming anytime soon.
Well, who's going to lead it? Like, there's no one that would lead it, right? That's the thing. You're not going to get a Daniel Bryan to lead it. You're not going to get a John Cena to lead it.
And the problem is, you could get a Daniel Bryan to lead it, but as soon as you need everybody, and you have a company where the guys at the top are making so much more than the guy at the bottom, that why would Randy Orton care if he Slater doesn't have kids, don't have dental? He can afford dental for his kids. He's making several million a year. You know, and the other guy's making $200,000. And that's where what I don't understand, the part that always gets me is, and again, this comes back to the independent contractor. If we gotten off topic from the crown jewel, but it's a good topic anyways. But I don't understand, you're on television, why you're not SAG.
I've been wondering that too. Like, why is there no SAG card for anything? Because you're the longest running show in the history of television. Where's your SAG card?
Yeah, and to me, it's more that than you know, the idea of, I compare it more to SAG, you know, Screen Actors Guild, than I do to a union for the NBA or another sport. Like, to me, that's the part where I just don't understand why nobody protects them. I mean, one thing, when they were just wrestling and talking their own promos, as soon as you start having to read lines and do scripts and skits and all this shit, to me, that it really is, and again, I know it's the independent contractor that somehow protects them from it, but
it's SNL, you know, with fighting. Realistically, like, Dave Bautista has kind of talked about, like, when he started going forward, he's like, I had to do all this stuff, like I had to get a SAG card and stuff. He's like, it was so weird, like it was this whole new world that I wasn't privy to, that kind of opened up to me that I didn't realize was there. He's like, it was so weird. He's like, oh, I get this and this. I didn't get this before with being in WWE. But all of a sudden, Hunter gets it now because he's in the office, right?
But the other thing you have to keep in mind is that we live in a world where, and I don't mean this as a slam on anybody, but we live in a world where, unfortunately, wrestlers are now smart marks.
Yes.
And that's what has changed. It used to be, you know, Kevin Nash was a businessman. You know, Hulk Hogan was a businessman. You know, Bruiser Brody was a businessman. Everybody was a businessman. And in some ways, they didn't really necessarily even love wrestling. Goldberg didn't love wrestling, right? Nope. Batista, these people, it was a business. As soon as you become a smart mark, well, you're willing to work for less. And you're willing to not, upset the apple wheel, because you love WWE. You grew up as a fan of WWE. Being in the WWE was a lifelong dream. It changes your perception on what you're willing to fight for, because, you know, Kevin Owens always wanted to be Intercontinental Champion. That meant something to him. So we really have gotten this generation where the guys work harder on a regular basis, do more house shows, are more accommodating to the fans and all this stuff, because, you know, because the veil has been lifted, but also because of this, they're smart marks. They're still marks. It's just now that they're working in the industry.
I guess, Joel, you probably wanted to get us back to Crown Jewel, right?
No, I honestly, like, I don't want to say the date of when it is, and I don't want to say where you can watch it. Everyone knows where you can watch it, but I really don't want to promote this show. There was a picture that came out online that they're working on the set. So it's full steam.
It's happening.
There's no – the only way this show doesn't happen is if Donald Trump himself and the State Department comes out and says, no, you're not going.
Which isn't happening.
And because there's money within the Trump and the Saudi Arabia world.
Also, where... a McMahon works on the with Trump. And so, they already have a relationship there, but there's also someone in Trump.
To me, that whole thing is hinky. You know, the fact that you have a member of his cabinet, an inner circle, and then you have the Saudi deal happen. I just was like,
Well, and you listen to him talk when he was campaigning, and just everything with Trump that ties into Saudi Arabia. He had dealings with Saudi Arabia. Jared Kushner is reportedly very good friends with the Saudi prince. So this is a movie that is playing out a very, very bad, like, this is like Wolf of Wall Street in some ways, except they're not going to get busted. They're not going to get in trouble. They're going to win, and it's just going to keep happening. And the Saudi Arabia deal is just one little small part of a much bigger holy crap thing happening.
Well, it's a really weird world where I don't understand anymore. You can have somebody like Louis C.K., who in a troubled time of his life did something bad and something wrong, but not heinous, not evil. Something bad, something wrong, and he paid for it really severely. Whereas other people do things that are bad and heinous and don't pay for it at all. And I don't know where it is. There should be punishment for doing something bad, but there should be a greater punishment for doing something evil. And we're not necessarily in a place where I can judge what is going to be the consequences for anything anymore. I just don't know.
And I mean, it's everyone, like, this has gotten political, and I figure, you know what, I'm just going all in on it. Everyone talks about the Robert Mueller investigation and the hopes. That's the silver lining for some people. Oh, all this stuff is happening, but Robert Mueller is going to get them. He's not. It's nothing's going to come of this. Even if Trump was to leave office, he will get pardoned, and he will go on to make money, and he will still have deals with Saudi Arabia, and WWE will have deals, and in 6 months' time, we all talk about how this is what this deal is, and people are pulling out of deals with Saudi Arabia. But in 6 months' time, everyone's going to be like, oh yeah, you guys are back in bed with Saudi Arabia? Yep, we all got deals going. It's all good and normal. Doesn't matter what's happening. It just doesn't. 6 months from now, Saudi Arabia will be... You'll think about it and you'll go, oh yeah, that happened. And there'll be a bunch of your big businesses that we all know and use or have bought products from. We'll be back working with them. It'll just be the way it is. And
that's very jaded, but unfortunately probably very true. And you know what? Even if I looked at it and I thought to myself, okay, this is like the fact that it's worse because he was decapitated, because he was cut to small pieces afterwards. I mean, the level of evil here should make a difference, but it doesn't.
No. And his wife will never get to give him a proper burial. There will never be a point where she will get closure, because Saudis say they'll investigate, and they've arrested the 18 men involved, which is funny. 18 men and a fist fight? Just
what did the man do that was so evil anyways? Question them? Whether or not the government was doing things properly? Like, good Lord.
See, it's funny you mention that.
But it's progressive, man. They let women drive now.
Fuck that.
It's funny you mention that, because they're all on different scales. But if someone was to speak out in WWE, they'd be SOL. They would be out of a job, and they would be in trouble. If Trump, any chance he gets, buries the media. And say what you will about the media, there are some issues within there. But he encourages this. Any bad press about him is a lie. And then Saudi Arabia, you get that ultimate of, well, he said some, he was questioning us and he was challenging us, so we got to just take him out. Got to keep things quiet. All three of these seem to not like it when people speak out. And it's crazy to think all of this is connected. I never thought I would be talking about Saudi Arabia and the political landscape in the United States coinciding with a WWE event. And a WWE event that you sit there and you look at the card, there are certain things that are appealing to a wrestling fan to be like, oh, I'm kind of interested to see how this goes. But you kind of feel dirty watching it. And you sit there and you kind of go, oh, I don't know how I feel about it. I don't like this. I don't want to support this because this is wrong. You should not be going over here.
There's been scandals, though, in WWE, you know, that we've all turned a blind eye to for decades. You know, that if you look at it, you go, you know, there's terrible things that this company, you know, Jimmy Snuka, right?
Yep.
And how they covered that up. And, you know, for years, anybody who's a wrestling fan who follows us at any level beyond the most casual level is aware of this. And we've all been willing to say, I can put it aside because I like it.
I mean, I will say, like, I don't like the show. I'm going to watch it. I'm just going to make that clear. So I almost feel like a hypocrite talking all this negative stuff and saying to watch it, because at the end of the day, I've wanted to see a possibility of Kurt Angle and Seth Rollins for years. And I have a possibility to see that in the America Cup, because it's not a World Cup. It's an America Cup. So let's not call it the World Cup. Like, I haven't seen a World Cup where everyone is all Americans. Landon Donovan would have been thrilled by that, I'm sure. Same with Amy Wambach, if that was the opportunity for the Men and Women World Cups. But
well, hey, I mean, the team that wins the Super Bowl, they call the world champions, right? Like,
yeah, true. But yeah, it's a little ridiculous. We're going with the World Cup, and it's the best of the world because we need to get rid of that term. But there's things that are appealing on this show. Like, I'm interested in AJ and Daniel Bryan. I'm interested to see, will Brock get the title back and really go for this bizarre plan to have him have the Universal title when he faces Daniel Cormier? Could that be a thing that happens? Cormier was talking about maybe training in the WWE this year, next year, after he turns 40 and retires and goes there. So that all that catches my interest. But the thing that's going to make me sick when I watch it, because there's going to be points of like, you know what? I am enjoying this show, but then there's going to be the disgusting stuff about them doing the propaganda for them, and then I'm going to want to throw up. And
I'm
then
not I'm sure. I bet you we don't get the propaganda, though. I mean, so? I know that's why they're there. I think that they will bring it back, say, 2, 3, 4 shows from now.
Right.
But I do not think – I think that that's a line that they know they can't cross.
I would hope so.
At this point.
May see Hogan on this show, too, the first time that Hogan's been brought back, which is – absolutely. Out of all the times to bring Hogan back, that's kind of a tone-deaf time as well. But for them to get a reaction, I get it. It's Hogan's going to get cheered. Anywhere else, it's going to probably be mixed. But Hogan will get cheered.
And again, the Crown Prince knows Hogan. He doesn't he doesn't know who Daniel Bryan is, really. You know?
So, and I mean, this is the guy that asked for Yokozuna.
Yeah, exactly. So, An Ultimate Warrior.
So seeing Hulk Hogan, possibly seeing the NWO, will be great for him. It'll be a big deal for them.
They're going to do a run-in in the tag team match, and it's going to turn into a triple threat. It's going to be NWO versus DX versus Brothers of Destruction. Just a 5-star classic.
Which I would have wanted to see in 1999. Really bad.
That's my main thing for me. I could give a shit about this card. And I never need to see, like... certain guys that I just don't ever need to see wrestle again.
Taker.
I mean, there's too many of them wrestling. Taker's one of them, yeah. Triple H is another
one. I liked what he did at Mania with Cena. That's what Taker should do. If Taker's going to wrestle, do what he did at Mania. Do a choke slam, do old school, do Tombstone, and you're done. That's what you are now, Undertaker.
He doesn't even need to wrestle a match to do those things. You know, he could come out just like Austin come out and stun somebody, not in a match. You know, he could come out and do that just in a Miz TV segment. Like,
yeah,
and that'd be fine.
But doing the 25-minute match with Hunter is ridiculous. And he's gonna wrestle at Mania, and he might probably do something at Survivor Series with Shawn, which we don't need that anymore. Like, even his stuff on SmackDown 1000, I'm like, kind of getting sick of Taker. Like, I look back at that Roman match, and it wasn't great, but I kind of like the idea of Roman took out Old Yeller, took him to the barn, and that last spear was a shotgun taking him out, and then putting everything down. I'm like, that's actually not a terrible ending because he was at the end of his wits and that's how he went out. And now it's like Old Yeller rose from the grave and is like a zombie corpse just jumping on one and hopping on one leg and be like, I can still do it, guys. Not great.
No, not great. And you know, even Shawn Michaels, I realized for me, it was too many years. It was too many years. He was too old. I didn't have the interest. I thought I would, but I didn't. I suppose the one match I will, and this is possible for Mania. I mean, I was joking, you know, earlier we're talking about, you know, DX versus Evolution or something like that at Mania. But I do think possibility of Angle and Michaels. And since they've had a Mania match before and they've had three matches and they're one win, one loss, and one 30-minute Iron Man match tie, mm-hmm. I think that's a storyline I could buy into.
Sure.
But and you know, maybe they could pull it off because they're both so great. But at 54 years old, it was too many years, and he was too old for me to be excited about seeing him.
It was like Sting when Sting came back, and Sting looked fine. And the Seth match, I'm like, oh, Sting still got it.
I was more excited about Sting because it was his first, mm-hmm. right? Like he had never been in the WWE. If he had been mm-hmm. there and been gone for 8 years and came back, I would not have cared so much.
He could still cut. I'm interested to see if Sean could go. And if Sean can go, I am interested in the idea of him and AJ or him and Adam Cole or him and Gargano of these matches. But it's not going to be the showstopper Shawn Michaels. And if it, and if he does, those
matches.
Then Shawn is really the greatest of all time if he can do this.
No, but he's not. But those aren't the matches you're going to see.
No, you're not.
Gonna you're going to see him versus Taker and Shawn yeah. and or Taker and Triple H and like I say, maybe Angle. Those are the matches you're going to see.
Because Vince, because that's also playing that's
a, Sean doesn't believe he can go with a Johnny Gargano at the pace he'd like to.
Yeah,
you know, he has expectations. He doesn't want to disappoint people. If you give, you can do so many tricks, you know, in a match against Taker that you can hide the fact that you guys can't really go. I mean, yeah, a guy like Gargano could really. You know, have movement around him and create that. It's like Kevin Nash said that about when he was in TNA, he was working with the smaller guys and you know, the X Division guys at one point, somebody asked him why you wanted to do it. And he goes, because they can bump for me. They can do all this stuff that I don't have to do anything. They're doing so much athletic stuff around me that people are going to think it's better than it is. But Sean isn't a power wrestler. So I don't really think you can do that. So I think it would just expose him as being old. Mm-hmm. And I think he knows that.
Yeah, I think that's a very valid point.
For sure.
It's going to be very interesting how this all plays out. I mean, as much as we're going to rip on WWE for this, we're still going to watch the Royal Rumble. Still going to see WrestleMania. War Games. I'm still going to watch NXT. So
well, I always watch NXT. I love NXT.
It's one of those things. I mean, and they've got NXT UK now going, and there's talks and there's some rumors bubbling. Whether it's true or not remains to be seen. But there are talks that they wanted to do something in Germany and have that kind of coincide with the UK and have this slow expansion of NXT across the world with different.
And they'll have Canada soon when TNA becomes NXT Canada.
With Austin Aries and as your world champion, I'm sure Aries would love it if Impact.
Did you see Bound for Glory?
I saw the three things you'd want to watch. I didn't see there was the one match where they took off the boards. I didn't see that. I saw the alley segment. Pardon me.
You see the alley stuff?
I saw the alley. I saw the and I saw the main event. And the press conference beforehand, and I feel like there's something else I saw. Oh yeah, I did watch. I watched Tessa, and what's her name there?
Oh, Johnny's wife.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Valkyrie or whatever.
Yeah, I watched that.
But Joel was just saying, and we've had discussion. Do you think that's a work or it's a work shoot? What Aries did.
It's a work.
How he walked out.
Hmm.
I don't know. I kind of suspect it's a work shoot. I probably just because, like, it's so TNA, mm-hmm. you know, and this company so desperately wants to create a buzz and this is how you would create buzz back in, you know, this is how you would create the buzz back 20 years ago, and this is how they still think. Whereas this is not how you know, the idea that we're doing something shoot is how you created a buzz 20 years ago. It's true. And nowadays you create the buzz the way that being the elite did it and All In did it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Like, and I saw, we both had signed, we had signed up for Global Force Network because we thought Bound for
Glory. They effing advertised it. They did not, they advertised Fight. They also advertised Get the App because you can watch Bound for Glory on there.
You couldn't?
You couldn't.
No, you had to go to Fight. But they advertised it, right? Like, you got that too, right, Mo?
I'll admit right now, I saw it when I searched for to watch it. It came up on Daily Motion, the matches, and that's where I watched it, you know, a couple days after after hearing about it. So, you know, but the idea that you would have an app and not have the product, wow.
Yeah.
Very DNA.
I went to go watch it because I was like, oh, I want to check out the show because the Rumors of Jericho, but I couldn't find it, and I was scrolling, and it just seemed like they just added Slammiversary to it, and I couldn't find it anywhere on the app, and I'm like, well, this sucks, and I messaged Josh, and I was like, yeah, I don't think it's on there, and yeah, that was the end of the subscription.
It's on Fight TV, I think.
Yeah,
it was, and maybe it was advertised on actual TNA, but I thought that it would be on the app, and I swear I had seen it advertised that it was on the app.
Well, it just makes no sense. Why? You have an app! That's why you have it.
Well, they pushed the Global Force app so much, Jeff Jarrett's suing them about it. So why would you not have light? I don't know. I don't get it.
Like I say, it's very TNA.
This podcast, just as we kind of wind down here, there was this podcast has covered a wide variety of different things I never thought we'd fully talk about, one being politics. And it's nice to go back to the classics, like talking about TNA and going, what the hell just happened? And just, I think there are a lot of good things covered here. Is there anything else that's happened in the last little bit that you want to talk to briefly before we get out of here?
I just want to mention one thing with, because Josh brought it up. You made good points about Meltzer. Mm-hmm. And he's not right about everything. He drives me crazy when he says WWE. You know, he talks about their booking and says it's bad, and he goes, but it doesn't matter. I think it does. And he's like, they have so much money, it doesn't matter. And I'm like, I think it does, because I've seen having a lot of money doesn't mean anything to me when I've like, have you ever known somebody who's making like $50,000 a year and they have a house, you know, like they have a small apartment maybe, and they have a car, and it's not the nicest car, but they have a car, they have all the things they need, they're making like $50K, and then they get a raise and they're making $100K, and now they got a bigger apartment and a nicer car, and they're actually, and you think, hey, you're making twice as much money, so you have less debt, but they actually have more debt.
Yeah,
because when you make more money, you think to yourself, I can now afford to spend more money.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing this kind of in the Saudi show, you know, that they're not making great money, as much money as you think, because they're spending so much, like, to bring in Brock and Sean and shit like that.
Yeah.
And so I see the WWE and this huge money deal, and I'm like, okay, now they're going to expand and do NXT in Germany, and now they're going to try and do something in the markets in India again. They're going to spend money and throw it out there. Maybe they'll buy properties for movies that they've never bought before. Maybe they'll buy Valiant Superheroes or something like that, something obscured, you know, thinking that they can catch in on this money. And they're going to spend this money, and their product is going to continue to lose popularity while they do. And they're going to turn around, and I still really believe it's possible that not only can they be suppressed, that they could go out of business. And nobody else thinks that. But I think you do, especially you've managed to do the impossible. You've had an increasing – like from 93 to 97, your product was losing popularity. Until it started to pick up again in 97. So probably say 93 to 96. So they had a 4-year run. But now they've been losing popularity since 2001. It's like a 17-year run.
And you had one of the – what's going to be maybe one of the bigger movie stars in the world. We'll see what Cena's career is. And you had Dave Bautista, who's arguably is one of the biggest movie stars in the world right now, B-list for sure. and never really checked into either one of them to the full capacity. You really could.
No. See, 17 years, you've done the impossible during a 17-year where your product has lost popularity for 17 straight years. Nobody else has ever done this. Nobody else has ever lost popularity for 17 straight years and continued to do the same thing and not NFL. Change what they're doing.
NFL is getting that way.
Well, perhaps, but not at this
not at that rate. NFL is the closest thing I can think of that is starting to lose money and isn't making the right changes
it's subtle. It's subtle though. You know,
it's very subtle. The ratings are
here. And the same thing. You lose 2% here, you lose 3% this year, but you're not thinking because it's not that much. And then you turn around after 20 years and you're like, holy shit, we've lost a lot of viewers. But again, you're losing money or you're losing popularity and increasing your income at the same time and your profits. It's impossible. And that's exactly it. It's like when WWE was losing money in the mid 90s, when they had to take the water, fountains and bottles of the free water they're providing out of the head offices because they couldn't afford it anymore.
And get rid of the women's division and cut Brett's contract.
Because they had to sign Mark Henry and pay him more than they were paying Bret Hart because that was a good investment. At the same time as they cut Brett, as they couldn't afford Brett anymore, by the way.
Or Laundrie Blaze.
Yeah. but anyway, so what I'm trying to say is you've done the impossible. There is a point where this comes to a head. When you had lost your popularity and you had lost Hulk Hogan and you were going downhill, it took 18 months of your product being really generally excellent before it turned around. You know, started getting good in 97, but they didn't make money till Mike Tyson came in and really start turning it around in 98, right? And then it took a celebrity, an outside celebrity, and it took the fact the product was good for an extended period of time.
And hitting gold with Austin. Getting lucky with Austin.
And they got lucky with Austin. But Austin was there in 97, and the product still wasn't hot. If you watch Austin after the Bret Hart match, if you watch the Raws directly after that, he's getting almost no reaction. Like, he really wasn't getting that huge of reaction. Not like you think of. Not like you remember. So they've done, like I say, and the same thing, WCW was so hot, 96, they're doing great. And 99, they're making huge money, and the product was shipped. The product had been shipped for 2 years. They're still rolling it in.
Because they tried to copy WWE. They weren't going with what made WCW work. They tried to be Attitude Era Light.
But they were profits were – they made like $60 million profit, despite having had almost for 2 years now the product had gotten so bad. But eventually it came to a head. And this is what I'm saying. When I hear Dave Meltzer say, well, it doesn't matter. They're making so much money on these. They're making $400 million from Fox and they're making $300. I'm like, dude, or billion or whatever it is. A, they're going to spend that money. Just watch. They're going to spend it. And B, there'll come a point where – you just cannot continue to lose popularity and to be just kind of lame, which is kind of how they feel right now. It's boring. Like, it's just so much the same. Everything's the same. Every show starts the same with the opening 20-minute segment and blah, blah, blah. You, after all this time, they're going to come to a point where it's going to come to a head. It's going to happen. I'm telling you guys.
Go ahead. I just want to say this on Meltzer quick and then let you go, Joel. You're absolutely right on everything there. I will say with Dave, he's absolutely wrong, much like an Adrian Wojnarowski's wrong or a Bob McKenzie or any of those reporters wrong. They still get stuff wrong. My point was just that I don't think they would use an outside
I'm telling you something. He didn't just hear from Kenny Omega and the Bucks tell him this was and he went and went with it. He's a professional. He checked with other people that he doesn't.
Bob McKenzie's not going to John Tavares I'm going to help John Tavares get to the Leafs. And Woj is going to be like, well, LeBron, I can help him get to the Lakers. That's what kind of happened.
He checked with the drivers in Japan and the people who own the restaurants who talk to the wrestlers. He checked his sources before he didn't just go with what these guys told him.
No.
He checked his sources. Trust me. He doesn't say that unless he has vetted it. He's a professional.
Much like Bob McKenzie would or Adrian Wojnarowski could. Joel?
No, everything that's been kind of said in the last 10 minutes or so, I can't sit there and argue with because I there's no argument to it. I don't think that with Meltzer, I don't think that he's going to just go in, oh, well, the Bucks told me this, so I'm running with it. And with WWE, I think it's funny because when you said when WWE was hot You said it was, what years was it? 97?
2001 was the 2001 was the peak, but they were hot from 98 to 2001.
And you want to know who in one of their big crown jewels for the crown jewel show is? The four guys wrestled back then, 17 years ago, and they're in a marquee matchup for that. So,
I know.
Good
at time. At the same time as in 1998, Hunter was going, oh, what a joke. Look at Hulk Hogan and these old guys, you know, these old guys being on top over in WCW. Now he's that guy.
Yep. Yep.
Also, how does Knoxville feel about their mayor right now? That's what I want to know. How does Knoxville feel about their mayor?
Knoxville. Only dude, it's
wrestling.
Knoxville.
Whatever. How does whatever hick town that he's the mayor of feel about
him? No, but all I'm saying is if it was New York, they'd feel a certain way. Knoxville?
Yeah.
Lower expectations.
Sure.
Well, I think that we could go on for hours, but I imagine we all have to go, carry on with our days. I'm sure that there'll be more to talk about with this. So, Josh, thank you for joining in. Mo, thanks for...
Didn't we have one more topic?
Pardon?
You didn't want to talk about Feinstein?
No, I've run out of time. So Feinstein will have to hold on. I definitely have questions on that. I definitely want to hit on that, but we'll have to save that for another day. Any last comments from you guys before we get out of here? And I'll let Josh do the sign off.
I'll do something here because I'll announce it here on your show because the We Talk Wrestling podcast is pretty much Addie, you know, had a couple of had twin girls and it kind of went away. We're going to do something again. It's going to come back in a form, not in a podcast form, but in a different form. It'll be something you'll be able to see on YouTube. I'm not going to say too much, but if you ever checked out that show and you liked it and you wonder what happened, you're going to get a way to hear us doing something again in the future. And same thing, if you didn't check out the show and you're curious, we had a really good following. Really good following. If you want to go in, even though it's years old, check out the best of. I guarantee you'll have a lot of good laughs.
There we go. No, it's definitely worth checking out. And it's exciting to hear, especially on here, that you guys will be doing something. And YouTube is so accessible that I'm very interested in seeing what you guys got planned. Josh, you got anything you want to add?
Yeah, thanks guys for doing this. I know the schedules were all over the place. I just want to say everyone keep on track with Stick Boy. They got some really exciting things coming. Everything on the We Talk side from the music podcast.
You guys are killing it at Fresh Take Network. Like, yeah. Seriously, the numbers are really great. I mean, you guys are just killing it. You guys have added a lot of cool shit.
Well, I was about to plug, we have Nostalgia Lame. We're finishing up Halloween next week. We have a double dose of reviewing all the Treehouse of Horrors from The Simpsons. Nice. Coming next week, and then we have a double shot of reviewing the old Sabrina to the new Netflix one back to back. But that was, and every week you will get a new, possibly two NBA podcasts and a weekly NFL podcast. As much as I want to roll in a corner when I talk about football right now, and also
I will at some point talk some football with you.
Thank you. And then bi-weekly we will have our new hockey podcast.
And I will make fun of the Raiders. I will.
Hey, yeah. And just to throw it out there, I'm 1-0 in fantasy football against Josh.
Oh, that actually
1-1. We tied. I beat you last year.
Yeah, but that doesn't count because all that matters to me now is this year. And
okay.
Well, it's 1-0. I didn't beat you in basketball at all, so if that counts for anything for you, but I just wanted to throw that out.
Yeah, you haven't let me forget it on the back-to-back wrestling podcast. But anyways, so everything really good at We Talk Podcast. Fresh Take got some exciting things. Stick Boys got some exciting things, so make sure you go follow all of that great stuff. Really appreciate everyone listening. Really happy to hear the news about Mo with We Talk Wrestling. It's been a great show, and excited to see any new features coming. We have some Let's Plays coming as well on Fresh Take, so make sure you go check out that, and make sure you tune for everything here on Stick Boy. For Joel, Mo, the Prince... The Crown Prince of Charisma. I'm Joshua.
No, we got rid of Crown. After the Crown Jewel, I just call me The Charisma.
The Charisma. MK The Charisma. And I'm your host, Joshua Adelaide Marmathnot. Until next time, thanks everyone for listening. Enjoy the week and take care. Bye.